Cape Talk.
The U.S. Report.
The U.S. Report with Adrian Bruni, all the way from Manhattan in New York. A very good morning to you. How are you doing, Adrian?
I'm doing all right. How are you today,
Al? Absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much. Looking forward to the discussion that you and your confidante have been working on. So, yeah. How is that one doing, by the way?
In chief. He's doing great. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Heading away.
All right, absolutely fantastic. All right, let's get down to business. You know, whatever we do, we can't run away from him. But what's the latest coming from President Donald Trump's camp?
Yeah, so it's more like a Mr. Donald, President Trump, Jekyll and Hyde sort of situation. So he said, quote, yesterday, they are trying to take away our history and our heritage. So that's exactly what President Trump at a raucous rally in Arizona said, lambasting journalists and spending nearly a third of his 90 minutes rehashing his public remarks in the wake of Charlottesville, also complaining that he was widely criticized for them. The only time he mentioned the racial tensions and violence was in the context of defending himself, while his supporters booed and screamed at reporters covering the event. So meanwhile, police lost tear gas at thousands of protesters gathered outside after some reportedly tossed plastic bottles. The president also trashed Arizona Senators John McCain and Jeff Flake for disloyalty and hinted that he may pardon Chef Joe Arpaio, who's on trial for anti-immigrant tactics. So meanwhile, you know, the next day in Nevada, which was today, he was sort of in a kumbaya kind of mood. And I have a clip for you of that sort of peace and reconciliation speech. So Americans just don't know which one we're going to get these days.
What happened in Charlottesville strikes at the core of America. And tonight, this entire arena stands united in forceful condemnation of the thugs who perpetrate hatred and violence. But the very dishonest media, those people right up there with all the cameras.
So that was from the rally the night before. I also sent you a clip of what he was saying in Nevada, but it was more of his sort of conciliatory tone. And who knows what he's going to be shouting about tomorrow? It's just anybody's game. But meanwhile, without mentioning Trump by name, the UN Committee on Elimination of Racial Discrimination denounced the failure at the highest political level of the U.S. to unequivocally reject and condemn racist violence, saying that it was deeply concerned by the example that our failure could set for the rest of the world. So such statements are usually issued over fears of ethnic or religious conflict. In the past decade, the only other countries issued with these sorts of warnings have been Burundi, Iraq, Ivory Coast, Kyrgyzstan, and Nigeria. So we're now sort of in the running for those types of situation with our racial tension.
Talk about falling from grace. Uber is also facing such tough times.
Yeah, nobody can really guess. There's an Uber story out. It seems like every other minute from, you know, that situation. Four mutual funds have marked down their share valuations in the ride-hailing company by as much as 15%, a sign that Uber's astonishing fall from grace, including accusations of workplace sexism, waves of firing, an intellectual property lawsuit, and, of course, the firing of CEO Travis Kalanick, is costing the company. Now, Uber reports first quarter profit was up 18% with more than $3 billion in revenue. So it's still going strong, but an ongoing search for the CEO has spiraled into a legal feud that could further sort of degrade Uber's reputation on Wall Street. And in more sort of car news, Apple has suspended its automated car program. It's now just figuring out how people can sit at the wheel and use more driverless apps. And instead of going all over Cupertino, they're strictly keeping it between their two campuses these days. So automated cars are kind of not hot at the moment.
And as we continue looking at the NFL and the whole kneeling during the playing of the national anthem, certainly players making their voices heard.
Yeah, they are. So in the largest such on-field demonstration yet, 12 Cleveland Browns knelt in prayer during the national anthem before Monday night's preseason game against the New York Giants. They are spurred by recent events in Charlottesville. The team members, including several who stood but placed a hand on a kneeling teammate in support, explained in interviews that they didn't intend any disrespect toward the flag but wanted to highlight ongoing social and racial injustices. Now, also over the NFL player Kaepernick, he's still not been recruited. There were about 1,000 people out on Fifth Avenue yesterday who were protesting and calling for him, calling for the end of his so-called blackballing, and for the NFL to put him back on the list.
But I mean, is that acceptable from the players? Does the NFL accept this, that it's not about disrespecting the flag, but it's to make a statement that these are their views? Is that acceptable, or is just one of those things where it doesn't matter what they say, it will be viewed as disrespect to the flag?
They are not drafting. They are not drafting him because it's bad for business. The players, the owners associations don't want these players to take a stand against the flag. They don't want them kneeling because of the fans. They assume that if the players are taking this, even though it's not anti-patriotic, it's seen as anti-patriotic, and therefore the fans are not going to come to the games. They're going to punish the teams for it. So that is why these players are not being recruited after being free agents. So it's a really unfortunate situation, but it's really primarily about business.
Nonetheless, thank you so much, Adrian. It's been a fantastic week so far. So we finish it off on a high, and we chat again next week, Monday.
Yes. Have a great weekend, Af.
Thank you so much, Adrian Bruni, all the way from Manhattan, New York.